This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, Valentine's Day, it usually gets framed up as roses, romance, being loved up with one special person, but most of us know love can show up in a lot of other ways too. So whether it's a partner, a friend, a pet, or even the things that ground us day to day, what's actually going on inside us when we feel love? And does the chemistry change depending on the kind of love we're feeling? Therese Larkin, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm excited about this because Valentine's Day is coming up for those who want to celebrate it. Now, we talk about talk about chemistry all the time when we're attracted to someone. What does that actually mean in terms of the body and the brain when we fall in love for the first time?
Oh, it's such a nice thing, isn't it? And it's interesting because it's one of those things that still can elude science, which I think is perfect because we don't really want to know exactly what it is. Imagine if you could totally make up the cocktail of chemicals that is love. Exactly. But absolutely, we have lots of chemicals that are associated with love, whether that's romantic love or companionship love or love of a pet, for example. And the main chemicals involved are hormones. So hormones like oxytocin and dopamine and adrenaline and cortisol. So yeah, hormones that are associated with bonding and connection with others, but actually also hormones associated with stress and feelings of high, and dopamine is associated with motivation and obsession and addiction. So we've got this real mix of chemicals and hormones that's not just one simple thing. You know, it's not just one thing like serotonin is a feel-good hormone or cortisol on its own is a stress hormone. So yeah, there's something really different about love, which is why it's so complicated, but why it's really good for us, because there's multiple hormones.
Therese, I'm thinking of a Kylie Minogue song. Is it true we can be blinded by love at first sight?
It is true. So this is really interesting because we've got all of the hormones, you know, really heightened and activated. And one of those, dopamine. So it's really all about reward and motivation. And so the first thing with that is that that's our obsession. And that's, you know, really brings on those behaviors to pursue a love interest, which means that we can become obsessed with that one thing and blind to other things. But we can also be blind in love because at that initial time of falling in love, you've actually got certain parts of the brain deactivated. So we have reduced activity in the frontal cortex, which is where all of our proper thinking and judgment comes from. So that reduced activity, it's good in that it reduces negative emotions, but can actually also reduce someone's capacity to judge well. So yes, there's definitely those phases where love can be blind. You know, you've got noradrenaline, which is those feelings of euphoria, and that's that physiological response of a faster heart rate, butterflies in the stomach, increased energy. So you've surrounded by all these good things happening inside you, but at the same time, those...
Oh, Therese, we have lost you. Oh, no, we've got Therese Larkin from the University of Wollongong back on the line. Therese, you're there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. Yes, I'm sorry that was a phone call. I thought I'd had all the notifications switched off, but yes, brother was calling. So that's an example of sibling love.
we'll talk about that in a second. Well, you were talking about the sort of the chemistry of being blinded by love at first sight,
that's
and that our
right.
whole sort of judgment yeah. goes offline. Mm-hmm. Does that mean we could be misjudging the person that we're falling in love with?
Yes, that is absolutely the problem, in that that's why people can, you know, only see all the good things. And because we've got that reduction in our prefrontal cortex activity, which is all of our higher thoughts and judgments, yet we absolutely can be blinded to the faults in the person that we are in love with to start with. But I guess it's protective, you know, it's the way that our body and brain are working to increase the chances that we might stay with people for longer.
Ah, okay. Let's talk about romantic love. How does that change over time?
Yeah, so at first there's that real increase in adrenaline and that, you know, the dopamine. So sort of that really, the behaviour drawing you to that person. And it's, you know, heightened, it's intense infatuation. But when love changes and there's an increase in intimacy and commitment and attachment, that's really driven by the hormone oxytocin. So oxytocin is often described as the hormone of love, but its roles are really in helping us feel safe and secure. So interestingly, in falling in love, there's actually initially high cortisol and stress because it's something new and there's a risk falling in love and there's uncertainty. So a lot of all the good things in life come with stress on the side. But then as that continues on and the feelings of safeness increase, then oxytocin is really important. And that's what can maintain long-term intimacy, commitment and attachment. So yeah, really interesting. And that's also increased when we hug or have affection.
Oh, I love hugs. Now, Teresa, I've got my little 2-year-old black miniature poodle here with me in the studio, Lucas. I love him so much. I can't I can't express the love that I have towards him. So what I want to ask you is love good for us? And is all love the same, whether it is of a partner or a pet or even a friend or family member like your brother?
Exactly. Yeah. Love is so good for us because it can have really positive health benefits, mostly from increasing that balance with higher oxytocin, lower cortisol, you know, lower stress response. So whether it's loving your beautiful dog or our siblings or parents or, you know, nieces, our a lover. So all of that love is a positive chemistry for the body. And so, yeah, there are absolutely known cardiovascular health benefits. The balance with the higher oxytocin can reduce inflammation and reduce oxidative stress. And as you were saying, in terms of even companionship with a dog, they've done studies where looking into your pet dog's eyes increases your oxytocin, but it also increases the dog's oxytocin. Oh.
Lucas, come here.
So it's a dual benefit both ways.
I love it.
And it's that thing, you know, where made to nurture others, you know, that is a desire for us as humans. And so that also then in turn nurtures ourselves. And obviously, as you know, the best thing about then a pet is that they have non-judgmental, unconditional love. Oh, and so that could really be a good boost for us.
Is it enough to love your pets or your plants and not necessarily another human?
So we've grown as humans and survived and thrived by being in groups and having connection with other people. And so that is the ultimate thing. And, you know, when we think back to like the COVID lockdowns and the disconnection that we have, any increased sensory stimulation and, you know, so looking at someone when you're speaking to them or hearing their voice rather than texting and being in the presence of others is really important for our health and well-being. So that's absolutely number one. And, you know, there's lots of studies looking at the impact of isolation and loneliness on worse mental health. But having a pet or having a plant can definitely offset that in some way. So it can definitely help stress reduction and improve mood. And I remember a study that was looking at those blue areas in the world where people live to more than 100. And in those areas in Japan, one of the habits that the people who live to more than 100 had was that they tended their plants first thing every morning. Yeah. And so they also did have interactions with others and the community sense was a big impact too. But even when we, you know, tend to a plant, it's really about mindfulness and presence. And so that's also really good for our mental and physical health.
What about, I think you might have already touched on this, but hugging. So is hugging and affection good for our health? Like, is it really clear that we should be hugging and therefore, you know, not picking up the phone call, for example, and chatting to someone is better than just SMSing as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime you can add an additional sensory stimulation, like seeing instead of texting or hearing instead of texting, really helps. Yeah. Hugs are so important for us. So they're a non-verbal communication of our safety and touch is a basic human need. And they've looked at research that shows that that deep pressure, it stimulates our vagus nerves, which are the opposite of the fight or flight response. So they're our rest, digest, restore nervous system. And hugging releases hormones and chemicals. So similar to what we spoke about, like endorphins, oxytocin, also serotonin and dopamine. And yeah, absolutely. It lowers the stress response and cortisol, can reduce pain perception, improve heart health and inflammation, improve mood. And interestingly, and oxytocin is my favorite hormone, just to let you know. Yeah, so oxytocin, so that's that sort of, you know, bonding, affection kind of hormone.
Can you buy
human
it?
Connection. Yeah, you can't. But they have looked at using intranasal oxytocin sprays.
Really?
But yeah, but you can just look into your dog's eyes.
Oh, we're longingly looking at each other right now.
But the good thing with oxytocin, it's this positive feedback loop. So the more that's released, the more you want to love. And, you know, they've looked at an ideal duration of a hug. And me and one of my sisters, we tried this once as a non-romantic couple.
Yeah.
10 seconds can improve immune function. 20 seconds is ideal, but you can usually only get from a partner. Six seconds is enough. But when you're hugging someone who's not your partner, it feels a bit awkward. But it's actually, that's what's important for health. And we should be having multiple hugs in a day. They've even looked at the styles. The most common is the crisscross, where one person's arm goes above the shoulders and around the waist and the other person does the opposite arm above. Yeah. Do you have that style of
hug? I'm doing it now to the microphone just to, so one goes over the shoulder. Each person puts one over the shoulder and the other around the waist. Sort of like real nice hug.
Yes. And so that's usually one's got, say, their left up, right down. I think that's the most common. And the other person's doing the same. So it's this like crisscross hug is the one that they've said is the most common.
So we need it. As people,
we do.
We need hugs. We need love.
We do. And sometimes this statistic bothers me because I'm not on these numbers, but they say that you should have 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 for maintenance, 12 for growth. People have really looked at the importance of hugging.
Oh, my God. Teresa, this is an amazing topic. Maxie just texted in saying, love the topic as well. Maxie, don't hug. Lots of hugs. What an amazing...
Hugging, looking in your dog's eyes or...
That's what we're going to do
connecting
all night.
With any humans.
We are going to stare at each other all night. Teresa, it's a great topic. Thank you so much for joining us. What's your take-home message?
So I love the HUG hug is to hold someone, to unwind and relax and give more hugs. So that can be my little HUG, hold, unwind, give. And there's nothing better than human connection.
Teresa, we've run out of time. It's news time. But thank you so much for joining us. We'll chat next time.
Thank you. Have a good day and weekend.
Thank you. You too. Teresa Larkin from the University of Wollongong.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.